You're thinking of getting a family computer. Should you get the computer more kids use in schools? Or should you get the computer that runs all the most popular business software? Or should you get the computer that's easier to use than any other personal computer in the world? The answer is yes.
Cast the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Eric Von Weiser. Joining me today, he's the founder of Cult-O-Mac and was once referred to by Chris Martin as Coldplay's biggest fangirl. Leander Caney is here. I think it's all the incessant screaming you do at their concerts. Also with us, when he's not slapping the bass, he's slapping around those Cult-O-Mac riders. Lewis Wallace is here.
Good slap, one. Slap, slap.
Do we have you on like a satellite feed here? There's like a 12-second delay between when I said that.
Really? Are you serious?
Oh, no. Okay, now there we go. Okay, it might just be brain delay, as you pointed out earlier.
I'm a little fogged after that long Labor Day weekend. A lot of music.
a lot of ales and beer.
A lot of cider. Oh, my God. A little Olympic Peninsula action. Oh my God.
It's a wild party over there, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think the craziest thing that happened was after, I think it was the last night, we're at Paul's house. Paul's in the band, Those Darn Accordions. Paul's the songwriter. And it's suddenly at like 1 or 2 in the morning, his wife is screaming from her bedroom. We're like, what?
Oh, no, don't interrupt that.
there was a bat in the house, a bat flying around in her room.
Oh,
so we go in there. We had like a broom, and I'm just standing there watching this bat fly, and it just flew around and around and around. It just kept doing it. It kept swooping down at us. Oh my God,
this
crazy.
Is like a scene out of Ace Ventura: Pet Detective.
I'm like, hey, buddy, come on, buddy.
Did you pin it to death with a broom then, or
no? We just kept trying different things, opening different doors, opening different windows, turning the lights on, turning the lights out, trying to we didn't have any actual bat wranglers with us, but.
Yeah, what do you do to get a bat out of the room?
You know, we finally
because it was
just got
probably
lucky.
Going crazy, right? It's just flapping around, and it probably had rabies,
and it kept getting like lower and lower.
Oh yeah,
and I was like, man, that thing's like running out of energy, and it's gonna get like, it's gonna be just so increasingly desperate, it's gonna land on my face.
And it's got those beady little eyes too, so it's just coming right for you with those beady little eyes. Its mouth is it's all frothy because it's probably got like some disease. It's just going straight for your neck.
Yeah, and I don't know if I was hallucinating or if actually the drummer was outside trying to get it to go. He was making some noise, but I swear to God, I thought I heard this like noise that the bat was making.
Was he echolocating or something out there? What was he doing?
I don't.
He was honing in for the kill, Lewis. You barely got away.
I might have been hallucinating. I'm not sure.
Is that what lured him out then? The drummer making bat mating sounds?
Honestly, just nothing. Nothing seemed to work until it finally did. I think it. I don't know. I don't understand it. It's very odd.
How did you get it out?
Honestly, we just stood there waving our arms at it, trying to encourage it to go out the door, and it finally just
did. We're trying to encourage the bat. Please, go that way, bat, please.
Yeah, it did not respond to my entreaties.
Man, that's wild. I've never seen a bat in the wild before. I'll tell you what I saw the other day. I heard this buzzing noise. I was like, this real loud, low-pitched buzz. And I was looking around, trying to figure out what it was, and behind the shades was the biggest gall darn. I don't know if it was a bee or
vibrator?
What it was.
Oh,
was it at your house? It's in my office. It's the biggest gall darn bee I've ever seen. It was like this big black V. I swear it had veins.
Was it all black?
Pulsate. Yeah, it was completely all black. You know, it might have been a hornet, and it was just like it kept hitting the window trying to get out. So you know what I did?
Open the window.
I gotta get this thing out of here before it finds my aortic valve and stings it. So I had a little Tupperware thing and I put it over the hornet or whatever that thing was. It looked like it had, flown out of Satan's bunghole. And then I put a little piece of paper under it, and then it got pissed, and it's like bouncing all around this little Tupperware thing. And it was hitting it so aggressively, I was actually worried it was going to sting through the plastic of the Tupperware. I don't even know if that's possible.
Huh? Like a Coens Brother movie, huh? Where like the holes are coming through the door.
Exactly.
So it's this bee sting.
Exactly. Like the stinger. This thing was it was probably as big as half of my pinky. I have very large hands. They're the exact opposite of Alex E. Heath's. So I take it outside, and this thing is pissed. It's like bzz, 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 bouncing off the inside. I'm like, well, how am I going to release it? Because as soon as it's going to come right for me because it sees me. It has like 35 eyes on the front of its face. So I decide to just whip it off fast and then
sprint
and then squeal and run away, right? So that's what I do. And then I'm waiting to feel the hot sting on the back of my neck, but I don't feel anything. I don't hear anything. So I turn around, and the thing is still in the Tupperware container.
He's on a new home.
And I have it in front of the door, the Cult Command Studio door, so I can't go back over there. Because as soon as I go over there, you know, it's going to see me, it's going to remember what I did to it, and it's going to come for me.
Right.
And it was just sitting in there, and then eventually I started getting closer, and I think it was, like, caught on something, and I kind of inched my way over, and then as soon as I get, like, 2 feet closer to it, you know, it's like, bzz, it springs out of the Tupperware thing, and it just flies away, and that's the end of the story.
I was kind of knew it was going to be anticlimactic.
I thought it was going to come straight from my eyeball, right? And I was going to be wearing an eye patch the rest of my life. But no, it just, you know, it was probably just happy. I think it just was tired, maybe, you know, like, because it was so pissed. And then I let it have a breather, and then finally it was like, thanks, dude. Thanks for letting me out. And then I just flew away.
Yeah, he probably was your friend. He probably wanted to, you know.
Maybe.
Just sort of, you know, rub up against you and have you pet him. And
he wanted to be a pet. I heard that if you put, actually, I know this is true. If you put a bee in the freezer, if you catch one and put it in the freezer, it will, I don't know if it puts into like some type of suspended state, but you can tie a string around it. And then when it diff-thaws, it will reanimate, and then you can have a bee on a leash.
Huh.
I've seen YouTube videos of people do this before. But I wouldn't have tried it with that bee, because that was the biggest damn bee I've ever seen in my entire life.
On a leash, you could have gone for a little flight around the neighborhood.
Yeah, that's right. I could have sold my car and just rode on that thing. Because right. It was ginormous, but this might be the longest preamble to an actual Apple conversation we've ever had on this show. If there's anyone still left, we got all sorts of stuff to talk about this week. As you know, the Apple event, oh my gosh, it's next week, isn't it? It's coming up. I thought it was the week after, but sure enough, yes, it's next Tuesday. By the time you hear this, September 10th, next Tuesday, we've got even more confirmation of what we're going to be seeing. And I've got one more thing news to talk about here. Little sprinkle of one more thing. What will it be? You're going to have to stay tuned. We're also going to talk about some of the other hardware that Apple may be releasing here at this event, including a turbocharged Apple TV, which hasn't been updated in 2 years. And then also, perhaps, I know this sounds crazy, perhaps Apple's first AR headset. There is proof that it exists, that they're working on one in the newest version of iOS 13. All these code leaks just keep happening. Every time I see one of these, you know what I think? I think about when Tim Cook said they're doubling down on, what did he say? Doubling down on secrecy. Ever since he said that, we've had leaks galore. And most of them
He's doubling down on leaks.
Maybe that's what he meant. He misspoke.
This one's the most ridiculous one, isn't it? I mean, there's dummy models. It's wild. It's like, what's not to know?
So we'll talk about all that and more. Before we do, let me give a very hearty, quick thanks to Squarespace for supporting this episode. I run 2 Squarespace websites. They couldn't be easier to build and operate. You can do the entire thing all by yourself, building it, operating it, updating it, which is the most important part, of course. You could build a website to showcase your photography or your artwork. You could build a blog. You could sell products and services of all kinds. They also integrate with Apple Pay, which is really cool. They're constantly adding new features. Real super progressive. Squarespace is always building stuff in, the newest technologies into your website, and then poof, all of a sudden, they just become available to you. Plus, they integrate with all of these different services. So if you need to pull in some kind of specialty service, like for instance, I use one to help with all of the product orders and shipping with the Cult Cloth. You can loop in these services that will help you do all these different things. So you don't have to do it all yourself. It's just the way to go if you need a website. And they make complex websites that sell products or really simple one-page websites that you can build to showcase your skills, your social media or something. Head on over to squarespace.com/cultcast to get started. Build yourself a website. See how you like it. And if you like what you have at the end of the trial, you can use code CULTCAST to check out. You'll save 10% off your first order at squarespace.com/CULTCAST. Plus, if you order a year of service, you get a free domain name and an extra discount, which is substantial. squarespace.com/CULTCAST. Here we go. First story. iPhone 11. The lineup has been all but confirmed. It's looking like it's going to be available for pre-order on September 13th with a September 20th launch, which lines up really closely to what's happened in past years. A tipster who works for a major carrier gave some secret tidbits to Mac Rumors. Those story stealers over at Mac Rumors. Remember when they stole... What story was it that they stole from us? Was it the Apple Rainbow story, the Rainbow Stage story? It was something.
Yeah,
pulled the carpet... They pulled the carpet right out from underneath this, and I'll never forget that as long as I live. But they gave this information to Mac Rumors, and they confirmed, indeed, here's what's going to happen. The iPhone XR, I'm so happy they're doing this. This makes so much more sense. iPhone XR is going to become the base level iPhone 11, okay? The iPhone XS is going to become the iPhone 11 Pro, which is the name that I suggested that Apple used last year. And then the iPhone XS match. I'm going to miss saying that. The tennis match. The beloved tennis match.
So many people are going to miss it.
So many of our listeners are going to miss us saying the tennis match, especially many of our international listeners who never complained about us ever saying that. It's going to become the iPhone 11 Pro. So there you have it. The trifecta of phones. Which one are we going for, Lewis? Which phone is big, I'm sorry, medium-sized Lewis Wallace. Which one's singing his name?
I assume I'll just go with the same type of thing as now, the 11 Pro, the one that sort of fits in my tiny, tiny little hands.
Do you have tiny Alex Heath hands, too?
Compared to the rest of my body, they're a little small.
Oh, okay. Well, nothing wrong with having small hands. They're like little rat paws.
I got little like leather, like they're like little raccoon hands with little leather gloves. Yeah.
Yeah. So high dexterity, but very small. You know.
And only four fingers.
No thumb, which makes it hard to play the bass.
Yeah.
It makes it hard to slap the bass, but you make it happen. That's part of Lewis Wallace magic. Leander, which one are you thinking? Which one is Big Caney going for? I already know. Don't even tell me.
Well, why don't you
iPhone
guess?
iPhone 11 Pro Max.
What a name. iPhone 11 Pro Max. Crikey.
Yeah,
definitely. I've got big, chunky sausage fingers, so I need a big, fat phone. Although I'm kind of tempted by the smaller ones, you know, the regular size ones. They're really super nice, but I like the big screen, so...
Yeah, same here. I'm going for the iPhone 11, and I'm looking forward to the upgrade. I heard a story. I didn't even put this in the show notes, but I'm going to bring it up just because I think it's an interesting story. But we don't know if it's true or not, but there was a Geekbench score that appeared this week for the iPhone 11, so the iPhone XR replacement. And it was surprising because the speed test score was not very much faster than the current iPhone XR, which is surprising. You would expect to see more than like a 10% increase in speed. And the multi-core test was pretty much exactly the same. Now, these scores can be spoofed, so we don't know if this is accurate. But I was thinking, if it is accurate, I think that Apple has intentionally gimped the iPhone XR because it was just too good. I have it now. It's a great phone. And I think that it's probably too close in performance to the higher end phones. And it's only $700 or $750? I think it's $750. But you get almost the entire amount of performance as you do with the tennis match, with only $750, to me, maybe Apple's thinking, hey, too many people are buying the XR. We already know it's Apple's best-selling phone. We got to do something to make the iPhone 11, 11 Pro worth the higher price tiers that we're charging. So there has to be a bigger performance gap between the two phones. I'm just putting that out there. We'll see what happens. We don't know what the actual 10 or the iPhone XR / iPhone 11 score will actually be. We'll have to wait to see when they release it. But if it ends up being not super fast, I think that might be why. And you all know that I've got some sources deep in Apple. They're very deep, and they're deep in Apple, like inside the mail room, you know, like the very, very bottom. Right, yeah. You know, the basement pretty much where all the red staplers are. So they got their hands in all the mail coming through. All right. So speaking of Apple hardware, Leander, there's also a rumor that we're going to see an all new Apple TV come out this year, which actually kind of makes sense. Please fill us in. Fill the people in.
Right, absolutely, yeah. So this the rumor is that it's going to be turbocharged, the Apple TV. It's going to be the first update in 2 years, and it's reportedly coming very soon. So we might hear something about it next week. Fingers crossed. The updated Apple TV was supposed to be powered by the same chip that's in the current iPhone XS series, potentially making it a better way to play Apple arcade games than its predecessors. It's an unconfirmed report, so yeah, you know, take it with a pinch of salt, but it... comes from a Twitter person called Never Released. Is that right?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, I don't know.
It's kind of a weird one. I know. It's
Never Released.
He chose poorly. Don't let him choose the cup for you.
If it's coming
you.
From Never Released, wow, it must be...
Wait a second.
So apparently, anyway, so the current Apple TV runs on the A10X Fusion CPU from several years ago, and it's pretty good for, you know, streaming video. But if it goes to the A12X, which is in the current XS phones, and you know, this benchmarks have shown these things to be screaming monsters, right?
Yeah,
yeah. So the extra horsepower is going to be awesome for this for the Apple TV. And I'd sort of forgotten it had been 2 years since they updated it. That seems kind of, you know, kind of a long time. But I guess I don't know. Do you really need to update the thing if it's 2 years? Seems like a reasonable update cycle to me.
Yeah, if all you're using it for is streaming 4K. Content, then, and it works for that purpose, then why update it more often? The funny thing is I bought the new Apple TV, and I said, now I've got the 4K capable Apple TV, it's time to get myself a 4K TV. Well, 2 years later, I'm still using a 1080p TV. Like, I'm so indecisive. Every time I go in to buy one, I'm like, oh,
well, you
maybe
can't
I should
pull
wait,
the trigger,
you
know? On it?
I can't get myself to pull the trigger. I think this next year is going to be the year that I finally do it, because LG's got some amazing OLED TVs coming out. But, you know, actually, the one thing that's kept me from buying a 4K TV, the main thing that's kept me from doing it, is there's just not a lot of 4K content out there yet. I mean, people are still, they're still selling DVDs. How crazy is that? I had a guy telling me the other day, I was looking at a TV. He's like, oh, man, this thing does 8K. And I was like, who cares? No one's even watching 4K. You're talking to me about 8K now. There's literally maybe five shows on the entire earth that are in 8K.
Yeah.
It's just, it's like 3D television. It's just a gimmick. No one actually really cares about it. And then also, the console that I use the most, my Nintendo Switch, doesn't do 4K yet. And there's some game lag when you have to upscale 1080p content to 4K. So I'm not trying to do the game lag. I just want to run it at its normal, at its default dimensions. So haven't pulled the trigger yet, but here I am with the 4K Apple TV, which just perfectly encapsulates what we do on this show. We just buy technology that we don't even need and can't even use.
I don't even use it.
You know, exactly. But I have it. It's like I have this 4K Apple TV that I'm literally not even using for 4K. So yeah, they're probably going to update this for games, which will definitely benefit the game prowess of the console. Well, it basically turns into a game console, which is really interesting.
What's the GPU like, though? Isn't that a factor?
I'm going to get myself into trouble because you asked me a question that I answered, and I actually don't know the answer.
It must have a GPU, mustn't it, to render the pictures?
I don't know if it has a discrete GPU. I've actually literally never thought about that, because the Apple TV is not a gaming console.
Right, yeah.
But maybe it does. Somebody out there is furiously typing out an email to us at this very moment.
Right, yes, that is right.
Here's another interesting tidbit. I played the Google Stadia at the Penny Arcade Expo, which is it's called PAX here. Well, everyone calls it PAX, but I told you guys the full name because, well, I was trying to be thorough. But it's a gaming console that Google designed, and it streams games from the internet. So you can play games anywhere that you have a Chrome browser available, and then it encodes the video game to whatever console or hardware that you're using. So you can game on your phone, you can game on your laptop, you can game on the Stadia itself. And I was thinking Apple could definitely do something like this too. It would surprise me if they didn't do something like this, where they can give you access to more powerful games via the cloud and you just play them based upon an internet connection. What were you going to say, Leander?
I just looked it up on Wikipedia, and it does contain a GPU. It's Apple designed.
What's it called?
It's called the Sceptre Core Graphics Processing Unit, and it has twice the graphics performance of the A10X. So it's twice as good as the A10, the previous, you know, the one they're using in the current lineup.
Is that
system
exclusive to the Apple TV?
Huh?
Is that exclusive to the Apple TV, or
no,
is that
that's
also
in
the
A12X? So you know.
So it's part of like the entire architecture of the chip.
Right, it's a system on a chip, so it includes the GPU, and it also includes a neural engine as well. So it's, you know, for neural networking.
Oh yeah, that's my favorite part.
It can perform up to 5 trillion operations a second. 5 trillion.
Seems like enough.
Mental. 5 trillion. Whoever thought we'd get to 5 trillion, Lewis?
It's so much.
I was satiated at 3 trillion, but here we are at 5. The future is bright. So here's the part you're waiting for, though. So we know about the iPhones. Sure, we know that we're probably going to get a new Apple TV. Okay, that's great. That's fine. What about that delicious one more thing when Tim Cook comes out and says, "One more thing, y'all," and everyone loses it? Yeah. Well, look at what I have here. According to respected Twitter leaker CoinX, who has a pretty accurate record, he's been right in the past before. He sent out a tweet this week that just said, "One more thing," and then he attributed it to Steve Jobs. That was it. That's all there was. So I think he's alluding to the fact that he knows there's a one more thing coming up, but what is that one more thing going to be? This takes us back to the Apple invitation by innovation only. And I was just saying before we started recording, like, look, if we have a one more thing, it can't be some lame tracking tile, you know? It's got to be something real fat and real juicy. It's got to be innovation worthy, don't you think, Lewis? If they say by innovation only, and they only release some new iPhones and an updated Apple TV, if this is going to be an evolutionary event, they're going to put us in a real bad spot. The Fandroids are never going to let us live this one down. The comment section on Cult of Mac is going to absolutely be full of Fandroids, Lewis. We're going to have to avoid it at all costs. They got to give us something big, something fat, maybe even those delicious AR spectacles. Does that seem too crazy?
God, it just seems too early to me, but could be.
Yeah, could be.
Could be. How's that it's, for not having a clue?
It's Lewis. It's Lewis's signature. Could be. It could happen. You never know.
Ask your cats, Lewis. Maybe they've got a better idea.
I should have asked that bat.
We need to get you an 8-ball, like one of those magic 8-balls, Lewis. And then you just rattle it and you just repeat. You just parrot whatever it says. Odds are likely. Odds are in your favor.
Well, like you said, let's talk about the next story and then we'll talk about it being the, you know, the chance of it being the a surprise unveil next week.
Yeah, okay. Okay, so we thought that Apple had potentially canceled the AR spectacles project. Actually, let me do a little bit of preamble here before I even get into the story. Does anyone care about AR glasses? I feel like anytime we talk about this, everyone just goes asleep. No one ever tweets to us about AR glasses. It doesn't seem like there are a lot of comments in threads that talk about AR glasses. Do you guys actually have any interest in Apple AR spectacles? Lewis, I know you said you weren't really thinking, you didn't really know what to do with them. Leander, what were your thoughts?
Oh, I thought you were going to ask Lewis.
Okay, well, I did a little switcheroo on you.
Whoa, okay. Boomerang.
Well, I don't want to be a glass hole. I don't want to, you know, like I remember when the Google Glass things came out and there was a big, you know, they're causing all kinds of trouble here in San Francisco. People were in the bars and getting into fights and people didn't want to be filmed. And it was like, you know, all the etiquette about, you know, could you wear them to the bathroom? Should you take them off in meetings? But Apple, you know, could potentially make a really cool and useful pair of AR glasses. I don't know if the, you know, the sort of the use case has been articulated yet. Mm-hmm. That would be the interest. That's what I'm really interested in seeing from Apple is like, okay, this is what you can use it for. Because you know, they're going to be great at doing that kind of thing. And it'll probably be like the Apple Watch at first. You know, it'll probably have all these kind of, it'll probably be a jack of, like a Swiss Army knife. It'll do all kinds of stuff. And then as it matures, like the Apple Watch has become, you know, much more of a, like less of a, an all-purpose wristwatch, wrist-worn computer. It's become more of a health and fitness device. Mm-hmm. It's focused in. So I'm sure that it'll focus in. I think it's totally intriguing. I mean, like, you know, all the AR applications, they're not really well suited, really, are they, for the phone or for your iPad, you know, holding your phone up on your iPad to look at, you know, like an IKEA couch and how it might fit into your furniture somewhere. I mean, that it would be compelling, I think, through a pair of glasses. Much more compelling through a pair of glasses, and you know, looking around and seeing kind of all kind of information overlaid and what you're seeing, and getting, you know, like if you're riding your bike, it would tell you how fast you're going, and you know, maybe there'd be a map there that you could follow. It'll tell you which directions to turn in. I mean, it could be really, really magical. You could imagine it being really magical, really, really crazy. But I'm kind of skeptical. There's been, you know, who was the big John Carmack, you know, the Doom creator, who now works for Oculus for Facebook, and they're building a headset. He said they could build AR glasses, but it would come with a shoebox sized, you know, processing unit that you'd need, and then who knows about the battery and all that kind of stuff. Could they run this off the phone? Is the phone chip, the new CPUs, will they be fast enough to do that kind of, you know, crazy processing for a really amazing AR experience? I don't know. It remains to be seen, but I'm intrigued. Hmm. Yeah, I'd like to see them unveil it. I'd definitely, like, you know, see what they can come up with.
To your point about the launch features, it's going to be a lot like the Apple Watch was, where they're going to have these features like digital touch that are kind of gimmicky and will be gone after the second generation of software comes out, and they'll never talk about them again. I haven't seen any compelling use cases for any augmented reality headsets that I've seen so far. I've done a lot of research on these, and what you find is most of the glasses that are being sold to businesses for laying out factories or giving workers on-demand data for things that they're doing on an assembly line, or for bikers. They're kind of big and useful in the biking world because they have these heads-up computers that you can see as you're riding down the road. But as far as practical purposes for normal consumers, I haven't really seen any hooks, any marquee features where I thought, oh yeah, right, that looks real good. So I'm sure Apple definitely is working on that. But let me get back in the story here. So according to the story, there's some code in iOS 13 that alludes to the existence of the augmented reality goggles, spectacles. Internal builds of the software include a star tester app for switching in and out of headset mode. According to a new report, it offers two modes, including worn and held.
What do you think that means?
Well, I was thinking worn is pretty obvious. Right. So when you have it on your face. But as far as held, I don't know what that would
mean. That must mean the phone, right? Yeah. It's got to be when it's displaying AR content on the phone. You put the headset on, it switches to the headset.
Oh, that's an interesting point. Okay, in addition to the Star Tester app and the Starboard README file, iOS 13 includes numerous strings related to the so-called Starboard mode. There you go. And various views and scenes. So you have it on the phone, you put it on, poof. So if that is true, that would mean that this is indeed going to be something that needs to be paired to your iPhone, which also makes a lot of sense. Because if you're going to have anything doing any kind of serious computing power, those spectacles are not going to have the battery power needed or the computing power needed to do all that calculations. It's going to have an external computer doing those things for it. It's like the Oculus or the HoloLens or any of those AR or VR goggles. They pair to another computer and they're just used for a viewing experience. But there's another computer doing all the heavy lifting for the most part. Some of them have built-in computers, but then you have you're basically wearing a giant computer on your head, which is very attractive to ladies, but you know, can strain your neck, which isn't nice. According to Mac Rumors, many of the strings reference augmented reality, including AR Starboard View Controller. Now there's a sexy term right there. AR Starboard Scene Manager. Ooh, I gotta stop. It's getting hot in here. Several sources, including reliable Apple analyst Ming-Chi Kuo, have reported that Apple could debut AR glasses as early as 2020. I don't think that we're going to see these at the innovation event coming up. I think it's just too early. I don't think the technology is there yet. So that would beg the question, well, if there is one more thing, what possibly could it be? What could be big enough to give us a one more thing level event? Any thoughts, Lewis or Leander? I'll give this to either one of you. Should I put on some Jeopardy music to give you guys a little bit of time?
I keep thinking about it, and I don't know what it's going to be. It's a less capable HomePod that costs a little less money. I mean,
you know what, you joke. Well, that very well
Steve
could be
always
it,
used
yeah.
to say the one more thing for the you know the big right. products, right?
And if they're going to invent,
yeah, right.
they peel out. He comes peeling out in an Apple electric car. Hey y'all! He just peels out across the stage. The guy, the Verge guys, the front row would be passing out, peeing their sacks.
it could be like a trailer for one of the Apple TV Plus shows or something, or
oh,
you know,
Lord.
Huh? Right. That sounds likely to make. I don't think they're going to assert the big iPhones, right? These are massive. You know, Apple's biggest products of the year, and they don't want to overshadow the phones. I wouldn't have thought. Would you? You know, with AR glasses or a car or something.
That was complementary to it, then maybe. But yeah, I don't think they would come out with a physical piece of hardware that overshadowed the phones.
Yeah,
in some way,
I'd say
that wouldn't make any sense.
Yeah, you know, like Lewis is like you know some content play or something that you know one of their new services things.
Uh huh.
Maybe that sounds more likely to me.
On the other hand, you could see them giving a first look at something like this, right? Like, hey, this is going to work great with this phone or the next phone.
When it comes out in 5 years.
When we finally release it, you know, a day after AirPower.
Well, they don't. They did kind of start doing that, didn't they? But not so much. You know, like. I wonder if they've been burned by that. Though,
right.
You know, like the AirPower thing.
I mean, that was kind of my feeling about those kinds of things. Like, they were getting so. They were digging so far out into the future with these things. Like, oh, hey, we're going to release a new Mac Pro sometime. Here's a picture. You know, yeah, it seemed like for a while they were really kind of borrowing from the future with these events and overextending themselves. So yeah. I don't know. To me, the fact that this stuff is showing up in iOS 13, the stuff about the AR headset, that to me is bizarre if it's not like closer than we actually figured it was. And maybe... Maybe they will give us a look at it, you know? I mean...
Little look-see.
And honestly, like, just while you guys are sitting there talking about it, and I heard, you know, like, my thing about this is, like, nobody's going to want to wear these things. But then I just said, well, you know, if you think about them like AirPods or sunglasses, you know, like a thing that you have with you that you put on in a certain situation, right?
Right, yeah.
You're not going to wear it 24/7. And you know, I'm sure
in the
battery
shower,
wouldn't last that long
right.
anyway. But like, for you, riding a bicycle, I mean, that's a perfect time. You put on your sunglasses and that happen to have AR stuff, and now you can see where the nearest coffee shop is, and you can tell how far it is to, you know, the next turn you're supposed to take.
The next pot dispensary, yeah.
Right. Yeah. Somebody might have a problem.
Check out this cloud.
Or you know, I mean, there's all kinds of situations where you could imagine popping on some sunglasses could be kind of cool, you know? On some sunglasses, you're walking around in a city you've never been in, and those instructions show up. And right. if it was pitched as something like that, something that you can easily store and carry with you, and you pop them on and wear them briefly, then it starts to make a little more sense to me. I don't know why I never considered that. I mean, I guess being a Four Eyes for the past 40 years or whatever has made me just think, oh, if you put glasses on, you wear them at all times. So I don't know.
I just had a great feature that came to my mind for the Apple augmented spectacles. It's called SightShare, Apple SightShare. And it allows you to see what someone else is currently seeing, right? So they're like, hey, check out this pie that I'm baking. Or hey, I'm fixing my car. Can you help me figure out what to do here, right? And you just turn on SightShare and boom, you can see exactly what they're seeing because it's on their face and yet they have their hands available.
Whoa.
This could have all sorts of practical purposes, right? You need help doing something. Maybe you are you're watching a show or a movie or something together. It also could create all sorts of privacy problems. Let's say,
whoops, forgot to
you're
turn
filming
it off.
Things that you really yeah, exactly. You're like, you're going to the urinal. You forget to turn off your goggles, or you're going into the boudoir for a situation that really doesn't need to be shared with all your college friends. And they can all see exactly what you're saying.
Yeah,
so
yeah, a bunch of Apple. Contractors are watching it to grade the service. Oh my god!
Exactly. there's all sorts of situations that would come up from having a pair of always on connected glasses. Just think, you have a pair of glasses on, and you never know if someone is recording you or broadcasting you. Listening to your conversation, you would just never really be sure. That would create all sorts of problems. No wonder those glass holes got punched, because people were always leery of their intentions. They never really knew exactly what they were doing with them, you know?
Right.
Kind of makes you a little bit worried about your own privacy.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, well, one more story here, Lewis. This could be a big one that I've been waiting for a long time,
yeah.
Although I have to admit, I don't see how they're going to implement this in any kind of satisfying way, but tell us about sleep tracking. Yeah.
Yeah, so they're saying that sleep tracking could come to Apple Watch this year. Apple introduced sleep tracking Apple Watch, possibly, we might find out about this week. This ain't going to be the one more thing, I guarantee you that, because what a snooze.
Actually, this seems like it could be a one more thing. In the
no
Tim Cook
way.
Era, I feel
oh,
like
boy.
I feel like Tim Cook era one more things have really not been as they've not been as powerful as one more things in the Steve Jobs era. Like they tend to be things that aren't as exciting.
This can't be it, man. If this is it, the headline writes itself. anyway, this new feature will reportedly not require any additional hardware, but rather be software-based. It's not clear whether it'll be limited only to upcoming Apple Watch Series 5, if in fact there even is an Apple Watch Series 5. I'm not 100% sure that that's going to happen, and it's not just going to be different finishes. I mean, I haven't heard anything about any actual new features for this supposed Apple Watch Series 5 that people
are. Well, I was just going to ask you about that. We literally haven't heard anything, not a single thing about Apple Watch.
The only thing that we've heard about Apple Watch is that there's, you know, they found some little icons in there in iOS once again, or watchOS, I can't remember, but images saying titanium and ceramic materials, you know, like instead of aluminum or whatever, or stainless steel. So, but it's not clear if that would actually be a whole new series of watch or if it's just a Series 4 in titanium. So anyway, yeah. So, supposedly this would work with any watch, or, I mean, presumably, or at least, you know, the most recent ones.
It definitely won't work with Series 0.
Right,
we'll
nothing does.
Right now. Nothing does. What a turd that watch became.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, completely unusable.
Yeah, it's kind of. I actually still have mine, and I actually use it at night. I wear it at night to do the little sleep
what?
Tracking.
Thing. Sleep tracking? Oh, no
yeah,
way. Tracking.
Oh, yeah, you know, go. And that's one of the things that they're talking about with this new thing is that
Do you swap watches then? So you take off the watch you'd wear during the day and charge at night, and then you put on your old Series 1?
He's like Mr. Rogers. He comes home and changes his watch.
I think of it as like one of those monitoring ankle bracelet kind of things. Just like as if I was on a...
Oh, you mean like the kind that Leander wears?
Home release, yeah. I 9to5 Mac broke this story, right? And they said they learned of this new sleep tracking feature from sources inside Apple. Feature could be announced next week when Apple introduces the iPhone 11 and blah, blah, blah. Inside Apple, supposedly this feature is codenamed, this is great, Burrito.
Which that sounds ridiculous.
Yeah, that could be the funniest fake.
Why would
news
they codename it Burrito? I suppose a codename is going to have nothing to do whatsoever, whatever you're talking about, right?
So. Yeah, I mean, they always do. So supposedly the more formal name for it is Time in Bed Tracking. And while users sleep, the device will track their sleep by tracking the movement, heart rate, noises, such as snoring, I suppose, and who knows what else, and potentially other metrics. The data then could be analyzed using health app and a new sleep app. Also be a new watch complication for sleep tracking. I mean, this makes perfect sense.
Okay, but here's the problem.
What's the problem, Arvon?
Battery life.
Right.
I barely get a full day of battery life out of my watch now. I've had it for a year. So how is this going to work for sleep tracking? Because clearly they're not going to add as much battery life as you would need to be able to have your watch on for like a whole day and a whole night.
Well,
so you're going to charge it at your desk during the day or something?
Specifically addressed. They said that basically the watch would say, hey, you know, it's getting to be almost bedtime. You should charge me up. You know, and it doesn't take that long to charge it to, you know, I mean, it's not like it burns.
It takes like 45 minutes to an hour.
It doesn't take that long to charge. I mean, you probably wouldn't have to charge it all the way, right? I mean, they probably would say, oh, it's here's how much battery life you have here. You know, I mean, well, you already get these things, right? Like, oh, you know, your activity ring is 38% full. If you, a brisk 23-minute walk will, fill it out. So, I mean, they could certainly do the same thing with a battery life, right? Hey, your battery life's at 40%. You need it at 60 to make it through the night. Go plop it on the thing for 10 minutes.
I wish they would spice up those little activity notifications, too. Instead of being so polite, be like, dude, you are such a lazy SOB.
Go
it's 12
carrot.
P.m. You've barely moved all day, you fat slob. You better get up and move it. Then I would actually be motivated by it, but it's just way too polite. It's like, excuse me, you're normally...
It's very passive-aggressive.
Oh, you take it as passive-aggressive? Yeah, yeah. I take it as just passive.
No, I yeah. Oh, gee, we're just checking up. Gee, usually your move ring is really... You've done a lot more by this time of day. Is everything okay? Yeah, I'm hungover.
It just show you activity by other people in your area. Team be like, people in your area have normally moved at least 25 to 30 feet by this time of the day, but you've been sitting in your chair all day long.
Have you ever done like the challenge sharing or whatever? I mean, if you share that stuff every day, I get a freaking email or a message saying Graham, our the guy who does all our fitness oh, really? Stuff. Graham just completed 4 workouts, and if you tap it, it'll say, "Yeah, he burned 900 calories and ran 17 miles." Oh, great! Maybe right. I'll get he on the elliptical for 20 minutes. And
I get the same thing. I follow him as well. He closes all 3 loops every single day.
God, it's just really it makes me feel inadequate.
Features like that just highlight the microcosm of Silicon Valley. Nobody in the normal world has their friends sending them activity notifications. I don't even know anyone with an Apple Watch.
Really?
Let alone someone with an Apple Watch.
I see them all over the place now.
Besides my dad. Actually, I take that back. My dad is the only guy that I know with an Apple Watch, and he wears it on the inside of his wrist because he's old school. And he's not sending me activity notifications, right? So some of those features, I just think to myself, who outside of San Francisco actually uses these features? Nobody.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. A lot of people are buying these things. I see, you know, just like AirPods, you know, see a lot more than I used to. And not just
in Silicon Valley. Well, I see the AirPods everywhere for sure.
Not just in San Francisco, everywhere I go.
I'm not talking about Apple Watches. I'm just talking specifically about some of those like health sharing features. Like,
I think that started when there was like some, you know, you can do a challenge, right? You could challenge Leander to see who can fill their ring the most percentage, whatever, blah, blah, blah.
You got it. You better get ready, Leander. Challenge accepted. Here it comes. Who's filling their activity? Actually, you'll probably beat me. Don't you ride like 100 miles a week or something? You'll probably destroy me. Never mind.
Yes, right.
Challenge rescinded.
Well, come back to the charging issue. Like, I wear my watch all night. I charge it in the day when I get to the office.
So you wear it 24/7, huh?
Well, yeah, except for when I get down to the office, you know, like when my first cup of coffee, I plunk it onto the charger for like an hour or so.
And then you could just charge it while you take a shower or something too. I mean, it really doesn't take that long to charge it up.
Oh, come on! I'm not going to bring my Apple Watch charger into the shower with me. That's ridiculous. Lewis, you didn't think that through. Jeez. Sorry, Leander. Where'd you get this guy? All right, let's go ahead and wrap it up there. What do you guys say? Lewis is losing it. He's not even making any sense anymore. He must be in charge of my Apple Watch in the shower.
What kind of a lunatic would take their phone in the shower?
Well, a guy who watches YouTube content nonstop. I'm in there watching movies. I'm in there watching YouTube videos as I rub-a-dub scrub every single inch of my bod.
So sorry for you.
My rock hard bod. I'm built like The Rock. It's a whole nother podcast. We can talk about that another time. All right. Let's go ahead and wrap it up there. That's all the cult cast we have for you guys this week. But if you want to come say hi, we're all on Twitter. I'm at Airfon. Leander is at L. Kenny. Lewis is at Lewis Wallace. This has been the CultCast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the CultCast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys next time. That was my Lewis Wallace next time.
I mean, personally. Seriously, personally.
I put that little vibrato on the end like you do sometimes. Leander had a good chuckle at that one.
Yeah, no, I was thinking, like, after that guy said last week about the pot smoking.
Yeah.
We should really be honest about the pot smoking.
What?
Yeah? I was being honest.
Oh, well, I was being kind of like, you know, a little bit circumspect.
Yeah.
Didn't really tell the full extent of the pot habit.
Well, for legal reasons, I think you should probably avoid doing
that. Probably a good idea.
Because the things that you're into, I'm not sure are actually legal yet. Are they?
Well, excuse me. Well, yeah, I mean, no, not too bad. I mean, it's all legal, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't know.
I know, but I mean, you can get a ticket. Stuff is. You can get a ticket for being in charge of a bike.
For being in charge of a bike?
Yeah. It's like a DUI, but it's called like a...
Oh, if you're riding on a bike.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that.
That's the only thing I've ever worried about.
Haul you off to the slammer.
I don't know about that. I think they give you a little ticket. It's like a $25 ticket or something crazy.
Take you to jail and you get to meet Big Bob. And he'll offer you up the meat sandwich.
That's lovely.
Extra mayo.
Extra mayo? Oh, God. Good God, we're fun. Hold on. Why is it? Oh, no. Hold on.
Have you guys ever seen Harold and Kumar escape from Guantanamo Bay?
No.
It's a lot better than it sounds. You know about Big Bob.
Well, as per usual, I can't remember a single detail about the movie.
Don't remember it, right.